I love Jesus, I love Christmas.
Sure.
Because it's all about Jesus. It's his day. It's a day that the whole world stops and should make a big deal about Christ. And I love it. I love the gifts, I love the decorations, I love it all. And if you can do it all and glorify the Lord, I say you do it. If you say, hey, this tree in here is a little like the thing in Jeremiah, and I don't feel comfortable with it, and okay, then don't do it. You don't have to do that. No one's making you do that. If you say, well, I feel like giving gifts to other people detracts away from the gift of Christ, okay, don't give gifts. Don't do that. But if you can do it all and worship the Lord with it, enjoy that. Have at it. If you need to know my suit size, just let me know. It's about Christ. Christmas Eve service, a week from tomorrow, we're going to stop our busy lives. And I want you, as best as you can, just try and slow it down for a little while. Don't think about where you got to go the next day, or even maybe where you were earlier, or where you're going after service, or whatever it is next Sunday or next Monday night. And just slow it down and just worship the King. That's what it ought to be about. And if anything gets in the way of that, get rid of that. I don't think it ought to be there. That would make it an idol. 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to remind you about our annual meeting. That's in January, I think it's the 12th. I want to invite you to be at that. I want to remind you about the cookie exchange that's still on for Thursday. All right, excited about that. Try not to eat earlier so I can include that in my diet. Pray for Matt. Matt took a little fall tonight. How many of you know Matt Humby? Matt Humby, yes, familiar with him? He did a split today. He's home resting. Yeah. So if you could pray for him. Is that true, Rhonda? Yeah. All right. Very good. So pray for Matt. Keep Mr. Calipi in your prayers. Any update today? All right. A couple things we're praying for. Number one, the insurance to go through. Number two, for him to get a bed in the acute rehab center. Right? Is that right? Not rehab. Is that the right word? Okay, but it's not like addiction rehab. It's like physical therapy rehab. So, lest anyone be confused. So, keep him in your prayers. Mrs. Kent has two important doctor's appointments this upcoming week. One with the pathologist. They're going to test some of the things that they took out and see where things are at. So, pray for her. And then her second meeting is with a reconstruction surgeon. So, just pray for all that. Saw her this week and she's in good spirits. She's up and walking around and doing well. So appreciate your prayers for these, but keep them in your prayers. All right. 2 Kings chapter 11, and it came to pass as they went on. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. Are you there? I'll take a drink while you turn there. 2 Kings chapter 2. In verse 11. I know this morning I was talking to Mrs. Wilson a little bit, and this morning we were in a lot of, not obscure passages, but not, you know, anytime you switch over to Zechariah or Micah or some of those Old Testament prophets, minor prophets, they're just not quick there. And what I tell our kids in chapel is that if after a certain period of time you still can't find it, just stop. Just stop. And just listen. Because when I'm done with the verse and I still hear, you know, it's like, just give it up. Just look like you got it. So if we get to the spot and I'm starting to read and you still have no idea whether it's a New Testament or Old Testament book, that's okay. We're all here to learn. But we'll just try and get as much out of it as you can. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. It came to pass as Elijah went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Sounds good. If you're going to go out, that's the way to go. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord God, as we study your word, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, I pray that you would just grab a hold of our hearts tonight. Lord, that you would grab a hold of our hearts and apply pressure. God, that you would, as it's been said, that you would make your presence known here tonight, right now. Lord, we invite you in. Lord, we need you here. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in a powerful way. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Familiar story. Two characters that are often spoken of, especially from this pulpit. Some of my favorite characters are both Elijah and Elisha. Elijah, as you know, came before Elisha. So in chronological order, we're dealing with Elijah first. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll see where Elijah started. 1 Kings chapter 17. In verse 1 Kings 17:1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And that's our introduction to Elijah. As he walks into King Ahab, he says, it is now done raining, and it will not rain again until I say so. Now, well, how does a man do that? How does a man go in there? Was he sitting at home going, you know, I want to go be a nuisance to King Ahab. He's bothered me for some time. No, God sent him. Elijah was a man called by God to do the work of God. Not always easy. The Bible says in verse 1, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. That's in whose authority he went. And Elijah does some incredible miracles. In 17:1 here it says that it's not going to rain. And sure enough, for 3+ years, it doesn't rain. Not even dew on the ground. We've talked of that miracle extensively. We're not going to examine all the miracles, but we will reference them. By verse 4, what happens? He goes and he goes by the brook Cherith, right? 17:4, and it says, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. How many of you are familiar with a raven? Jacob, have you ever seen a raven? You've never seen a raven? Oh, Benjamin? There's no ravens in Hilton? All right, maybe not. How many of you have ever seen a raven? Thank you, Jay. Excellent. And ravens are known for what? What kind of birds are they? Are they songbirds? Scavengers. What do they do? Do you know what scavenger means? They eat what? Dead things. Gross. The fact that ravens are bringing food to anybody is amazing. That's how God does, right? It's like the thief delivered money to the bank. Yep. You see? That's just against their nature. That's not what thieves do. That's not what ravens do. And God used a raven to feed Elijah by the brook. Miracle. That doesn't happen. Anybody? Sit by, we have a creek right by our house. We spend a lot of time down by the creek. Never have I ever been there where I felt a tap on my shoulder and there's a bird with a Big Mac, or anything. No animal. If I get anywhere close to an animal, what do? They flee. Miracle. Elijah. So far, Elijah's life has been, in his ministry years, he's called it to cease raining, and now he's being fed by ravens. By verse 14, what is he doing? In verse 14, we see him, and this is an amazing thing, in verse Elijah is with the woman here, the widow, and he says, "Make me a cake," and she's like, I don't have anything. And he says, "Well, bring me what you got." And Elijah said under here in verse 13, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." So how long is that? 3 years. Ladies are like, "Man, that sounds awesome. Just 3 years not even having to go to the store. Much less being provided for." So far, within 15 verses, Elijah has called to stop raining, has been by the brook, and has been fed by ravens, who are scavenger birds, and now just met up with a woman and just guaranteed that the meal and the oil in her house will never go dry. Until it starts raining again. This guy's got some faith. The thing that he's calling out is pretty amazing. By the end of the chapter, he resurrects the widow's son. Amazing. And chapter 18 in verse 38. Let's look there. These are fun verses. 18:38. Look at verse 37. This is Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. In verse 37 it says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up their water that was in the trench." He causes it to rain down fire. Now, it's been 3 years since it's rained anything. The last thing you want is fire. But that's what he calls upon. Well, by the end of this chapter in verse 45, "And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezebel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Not only does he cause it to stop raining, of course, by the hand of God, but he causes it to start raining again. He prophesies in chapter 21 that Ahab's sons would all die, and Jezebel would be what? Eaten by who? Dogs. And so it happened. Go to 2 Kings chapter 1. Second Kings chapter 1 and verse 10. The story of Elijah continues. "And Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. It's pretty awesome. "Hey, we don't like you. We want you out of town. Well, if I'm the man of God, may fire call down from heaven and kill you." And fire fell down from heaven and killed them. I like verse 11. "Again, also he sent unto him another captain of 50, with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto him," He repeats, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Twice, within four verses, he calls down fire again and kills 50 men twice with fire. The next chapter, in verse 8, Elijah walks up to the river, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. He parts the water, parts the river with his mantle. And then, as we read our introductory passage, he gets called up in the whirlwind of fire, or whirlwind up into heaven. The chariot of fire, horses of fire. Pretty amazing life. And those are pretty much all the miracles of Elijah. That's what he does. That's what he's known for. About halfway through, it's interesting, he picks up a little friend, Elisha. And Elisha ends up becoming a great help to Elijah. Why? Because he carries on what Elijah starts. I want to draw your attention to something in chapter 2 and verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. Mantle is, how many of you have a fireplace? Anybody have a fireplace? You have a fireplace? Good. What is the mantle? It's where you put your little knickknacks, right? And things. Is that what he has? No, that is not what he has. A mantle in the scriptures is a reference to a certain outer cloak, like a type of clothing. It was kind of interesting. This past week in chapel service, we taught on Gideon. Do you remember Gideon? And we found on Amazon Gideon's official fleece. We brought it out. We had it here. They'll sell anything. It was awesome. It was incredible. Kids were wowed by it. We put it in the nursery to, you know, keep it safe. And so there's that. Similarly, didn't know this. They said, hey, previous purchases, you might be interested in Elijah's mantle. So we just happen to have tonight Elijah's mantle. It may look a lot like Madison's sweater. It may. But just to get the idea of what happens here. So let's look at a couple verses so we get a good description of a mantle. A mantle is a kind of cloak or loose garment to be worn over other garments. It's a lightweight jacket. A kind of cloak or loose garment to be worn over other garments. I would try it on, but I don't want to in any way make it so Madison can never wear it again. So we'll just, you understand. Look at Judges chapter 4. We'll see a reference to it. Judges chapter 4 and verse 18. One of my favorite stories, but we're not going to get into the story, just look at the mantle. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. Should not have listened. And when he had turned in unto her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. So, you know, it's been described as an outer covering. Here we see it covering a grown man. So, obviously, it's a long outer coat. Could be used as a blanket of such. A lot of times in the scriptures we see it. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, talking of the mantle. 15:27 says this. 15:27. And Samuel turned about to go away, and he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. We're going to see this multiple times as we look at a couple passages if you go to Ezra chapter 9. But what we'll see is that's wearing a mantle and an expression of great sorrow, they'll take their mantle and tear it. It's just a cultural symbolic, not that they're taking their aggression out on their clothes. It's just culturally symbolic of, I'm in great sorrow. Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 3. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair off of my head and of my beard and sat down stonied. And look at verse 5. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. You get the idea. You can imagine the things that are going on. Ezra's so distraught, pulling his hair out of his head and his face and tearing his mantle. Again, symbolic of those things. Last one, Job chapter 1. A story we're familiar with. Job chapter 1. We know the life of Job. We know the difficulty that he held. In chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." Why? Because he had just lost his entire family. So the mantle, being an outer covering, also was used as an example of anguish and great sorrow and deep heartache. I want you to look at 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going somewhere with this, so I feel like we need all of these things to set it up here. 1 Kings chapter 19. So if you remember the description or the account of Elijah's life starts in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1 and runs through 2 Kings chapter 2. So can we kind of visualize that somehow? 1 Kings 17 all the way to 2 Kings chapter 2. Well, in 1 Kings chapter 19, this is after the feeding of by the ravens. This is after the resurrection of the widow's son. This is after calling down fire, after causing it to rain. But before the prophecy against Ahab's sons, before the prophecy of Jezebel being eaten by dogs, this is before the 50 men getting toasted twice. This is before the parting of the Jordan. This is before getting caught up in the whirlwind. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19, it says, "And so departed thence and found Elisha," this is Elijah, "found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." Doesn't even say anything. Imagine you. There you are, the 12th man in the plow line. That means the first guy, what is his job? Just to break up the ground. And slowly, surely, and we get all the way back down to the 12th man. He's the last man. What is his job? Oh, he has a really important job. He sets everything in perfect order. He's the one given to detail. He's not part of the demo team. He's the fine craftsman, making everything look nice at the end. He's the guy that does the real nice ornate trim work, not behind the wall plumbing. No, that's not him. And there he is on his oxen plowing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Elijah comes by, takes his cloak and just throws it on him. And what does he say in verse 20? "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, that and then I will follow thee.'" If I was an onlooker, I would just say, what on earth is going on? Here, the prophet comes by, says nothing, takes his coat off, throws it on Elijah, and just keeps walking. Elisha then catches up with Elijah. He's got to stop his oxen. That probably is not easy. Stop it. Goes over and says, "Hey, let me just go say goodbye to mom and dad, and I'll be right with you." How did he know that was what was happening? Because not only was the mantle a covering, not only was it a point, an expression of great sorrow, it represented the power of God. and authority. And Elisha knew exactly what Elijah was asking of him. And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back and him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled the flesh and the instruments of the oxen and can we read that again, verse 21? "And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them." That was his livelihood. That's who he was. And Elisha kills them both. And he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Elijah calls out Ahab's sons and says they'll die. Says that Jezebel will be eaten by dogs. And right next to Elijah is who? Elisha. 50 men are killed on the side of the mountain by fire. And who's right next to Elijah? Elisha. There they go, and Elijah is about to be taken up into heaven, and the water parts, and they both walk across on dry ground. Elijah and Elisha. I want you to see that Elisha was willing to leave it all. Would you be willing to leave it all for Christ? If the mantle came by your way, would you leave all of your will, all of your ambition, all of your livelihood, and follow Him? Would you give it all up? Would you quit everything? Would you burn the instruments and get rid of the oxen and never look back? Can I go say goodbye to my mom and dad? Because chances are really good I will never see them again. Can I go do that? He's like, do what you gotta do. Go thy way. He left it all. And for the next 10 years, he follows Elijah. When that mantle fell on his shoulder that day, that indicated, buddy, you're next. If you want it, you're next. 10 years later. Hey, that's a long time to wait, Brother Sutliff. Yes. And when he took Elijah, he didn't want him to go. He wasn't in it for the position. He was in it just to be obedient to God. And for 10 years, he followed close by. Doing what he should have done. Handling himself in a way. Just following the man of God wherever he went. Can we go back to 2 Kings chapter 8? 2 Kings chapter 2, sorry, in verse 8. I'd like to examine this passage just slightly, and then we'll make an application, and then 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. There they are, just those two. And Elijah, after 10 years, says to Elisha, what do you want? Kind of like how God came to Solomon. What do you want? And what does he say? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. We won't go through it tonight, but I was looking And there's 14 miracles attributed to Elijah. There's 28 miracles attributed to Elisha. I wonder if he said, give me a triple. Yeah. But he asked for a double. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Verse 10 is really important. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Hard thing because God can't do it? No. He's telling Elisha, hold on. You just asked for a hard life. Because that calls you into question. It's not easy what we're doing here. Remember the time underneath the tree, and remember the time by the brook, and remember all those times? Remember when we were fleeing for our lives? It's going to be hard for you, Elisha. Nevertheless, and this is important now, if we could pay attention to verse 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. What is he saying? He says something spiritual is about to happen right here. I don't know what everybody else saw. But in a moment, a fiery chariot comes down with fiery horses and takes Elijah out. And he says to Elisha, if you can see it, it's going to work. But if you can't see that, pack it up and go home. Why? Because you got spiritual eyes. You got to be able to see those things. Because the fight that Elijah was involved in wasn't a physical one. It wasn't who's stronger, Ahab or Elijah. The things that Elijah did were divine. And if the power of God was going to be on Elijah, it wasn't necessarily in the mantle. That certainly represented it. But could he see it? Verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and the horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. True. That's exactly what happened. But look at verse 12. And Elisha saw it. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. And Elijah saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and rent them into pieces. And Elijah left one thing behind. Didn't leave him a set of spoons. Didn't leave him a safety deposit box. He didn't leave him. In verse 13, and he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. So there it is. Laying there. Elijah tells Elisha, if you can see me, it's good. Everything settles down. The whirlwind of fire is gone. And what's left is the mantle. Elisha comes down, stands at the edge of the brook, picks it up, slaps it on the ground, and what happens? What's the next verse say? And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. He says, "God, if you're for real, now's the time." And he takes it and he slaps the ground and the thing busts wide open. He takes it and he puts it on and walks across on dry ground. There's been many godly men and women that have gone on before that have dropped a mantle on their way out. The question is, who's going to pick it up? If you can see it, I don't know about things here. Things are different. Elijah just got taken up in a whirlwind of fire. Yeah, things are going to be different. If you can see it, go get it. Hey, if you're here tonight and you can see what's going on and you can see the spiritual things that are happening and you can see the war over the souls of men here, can I invite you to come take that mantle and slap Jordan down? Not Jordan Schultz. Take that thing and hit the river and see what happens. If you're the God of Walker, then do something great here. So the question is, who will pick up the mantle? Who can see the need? Who wants to prove the Lord at His promises? Last verse, 2 Kings chapter 6. In verse 13. Elijah's gone. Elisha is now the man. In verse 13, and he said, "Go." They have some trouble. For sake of time, we will not read all the backstory, but 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 13. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." They're looking for Elisha. "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city round, city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?' And he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.'" Here's the little servant. Not little. Servant. Sorry to belittle the servant. The servant comes to Elisha and says, "We're surrounded. We're surrounded. They have horses and they have chariots." I'm not sure if you're familiar, but horses outrun men. They're faster than us, they're stronger than us, and there's a lot more of them than us. He says, "Oh no." I'm sorry. He says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." One. I wonder if that's what the servant did. One, two. He looks out the window again. Burn on toes, fingers. Keep counting. "Elisha, I think you should recalculate." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee." What does he pray? "Open his eyes that he may see." If you can see it, you're good. Hey, if you're here tonight, you know what Elisha told the servant? Know what he wanted for him? That he could see it. Know what Elijah wanted for Elisha? That he could see it. Hey, if you're here tonight and you see what's going on and you say, I want in. Hey, come take up the mantle. It's laying there. It's there for somebody. It's there for a group of people. Elisha then passes it on to the servant. And what does it say? And the Lord opened his eyes. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire about Elisha. For a moment, he got a glimpse of what it was all about. Hey, here tonight, will you pick up the mantle? Can you see the need? Do you want to prove the Lord at His promises? Get in. I just can't see it. Lord, open their eyes that they can see. Let's all stand. The mantle. It's laying there. It's laying there for some young man to come by and say, I'm in. It's laying there for some not young man to come by and say, I'm in. It's laying there for some young lady to say, I'm all in. I've killed the oxen. I've burnt the tools. I'm 100% in. I can see it. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this invitation tonight. Lord, I pray that if you're dealing with the heart of somebody here tonight and they're contemplating whether getting all in or all out, God, that they would jump all in. Lord, help them. Lord, help us to see it. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? The mantle's there.